AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario,
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario,
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
Dumbass.
That's not cool.
Buenos dias.
Buccaneers.
Where's my bourbon?
It's baloney.
Bob, are we ready? Bob, are we ready?
The best radio show in America.
The simple things are also the most extraordinary things. And only the wise can see them.
Dong it out, Vic. Petros and Money, AM 570, LA Sports. We are your home for NFL football. Had a hell of a doubleheader on yesterday. Pats, Cowboys, prior to that, Raiders, Jets.
Yeah, it was huge.
Huge.
Raiders got boofed.
Oh, did they get boofed and a half?
Man, it was almost like a Shia LaBeouf, Honey Boy level boofing, where you just get boofed by your alcoholic father.
Shia LaBeouf, he's boofing around. We're boofing the Raiders so damn hard. We're boofing the Raiders, we're boofing them around.
He's a self-entitled actor.
He's boofing around.
Hey!
And Tim Cates had very little to answer for it, just very little.
But at least his pre-half and post was broadcast in a timely manner. Unlike the UCLA broadcast from Saturday, in which some dude rambled on for a full hour before Tim Cates.
Matt's working on that theme. He's working on an anti-LAX theme today.
Oh, we got to fix it, man. We got to fix it.
And?
Something's got to be done.
And there's one more?
It's okay that I gave my guy 100 pesos, right?
If you were in Mexico and you know a guy that travels to Mexico, you should give him your pesos.
Right?
Because you ain't going back.
Yet I was accused of being a racist for doing it. By Eric Karros, no less.
What does
he
know?
You can't do that.
What does Karros know?
Why would you give him? He goes, why don't you go to the shack to get your tuna cup and give Alfredo 100 pesos while you're at it? I was like, I don't think he goes to Mexico. Cirillo goes.
We also had Joe Klatt attack Mike Bone.
Oh, boners.
The old Bonerino.
There's no bone in that bone.
Yeah, Kate's booked Klatt. I don't know if Kate's knew that Klatt was going to unsheath the Bonerino like that. That could be podcast at am570lasports.com/PMS, the iHeartRadio app, or any other platform for podcasting. Coach David Young was in the house from Peninsula High, but we do have a coach coming on, and that is Coach Negro, Coach Jason Negro of Bosco versus Modern Day. Big game coming up, obviously, this weekend.
It's coming Saturday.
It's the national championship of all high school football, basically. So Coach Negro is going to come by and geek it up and talk. And right now,
that'll be positive. And by the way, Keaton Slovis was positive.
Yeah,
what a great
Slovis
celebration that was with Slovis.
Slovis was on, and you can podcast that. We'll replay it later as well. And, Matt, we got all kinds of tickets and
we
stuff.
We just were handed. Not only do we still have two BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse $50 gift cards to give away, not only, I said $50 gift cards to give away. There we go. Not only do we have UCLA Cal tickets for this weekend, and parking.
Hey, yeah. There
we
go.
We also have, just handed to me, handed to us, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 pair of tickets to Six Flags Magic Mountain.
Oh,
so
yeah.
There we go. 10 pair of tickets to Six Flags. And, of course, our grand prize that we'll give away at the end of the show right before 6 o'clock, the two-night stay at the El Greto Vineyard Resort in Wine Country, Paso Robles. So come on down, see us. We're here until 6 p.m.
All right, it is now time for the top story of the day.
Top story of the day.
And Matt Smith has got it because we're going to talk some NFL football as we have NFL football tonight.
It's going to be a big foosball hour, P. A big foosball hour. Professional ranks get going, and none of the numbers that we will kick around here in this very segment mean a damn thing.
Are you going to talk about all the crazy rushing numbers for Lamar?
A little bit.
Crazy world of Lamar.
Crazy emotional buttress. Vic should go out and do an entire Lamar sketch with Lamar Jackson.
Just try to, like, reboot Lamar.
See what happens.
Reloaded, y'all.
Emotional buttress. None of it matters. None of the situational playoff tiebreakers. This is the remaining schedule for the Eagles, the Vikings. The Packers lost. That's good.
What are the Rams? Won. 2 games back in the wild card?
They're only 1 game back in the wild card, but they're playing like crap. So if they don't start playing better, none of this matters. They have to improve the way they are playing foosball for any of, hey, this team lost, that's good. This team won, that's bad.
Exponentially improve.
Because, exponentially.
I mean, they're supposed to be, that's the thing. You know, it's the same with the Chargers. They're supposed to be a Super Bowl team, and the Rams were actually in the Super Bowl, so not exactly the same as
but
the
similar.
Chargers. But gigantic disappointment. Teams
high expectations.
Not playing anywhere near that level.
The Rams host the Ravens tonight. It is Monday Night Football. How good has Crazy World of Lamar Jackson been? And how quickly do things change in the NFL? The Ravens now have the league's second-best offense in yards, third downs, and yards per play. They have the league's best offense in points, which is important, rushing, and big plays, which are runs over 10 and passes over 20 yards. That is 6 of the 10 major categories on offense that the Ravens are either 1 or 2. This is a team that drafted a quarterback that a selection of general managers slash scouts thought would be better served playing wide receiver.
Went pretty late.
They regularly play 6 offensive linemen and 3 tight ends at the same time, and this is your number one offense in the league. Last year, your number one offense in the league was on display at the Coliseum on Monday night against the Rams in perhaps the most entertaining Monday Night Football game we had ever seen when the Chiefs and the Rams were forced to move back to Los Angeles from Mexico City.
And the Rams, over the last couple years, were the darling, right? Like Baltimore.
This is what the NFL is
now. Darling, yeah. But it's interesting because Baltimore, much like the guys came back with the big stupid mustaches from the turn of the century, they've done it in a very antiquated type of way. A quarterback that runs the ball, which automatically causes a mismatch. Extra offensive linemen, which causes a mismatch because most NFL teams are primarily nickel teams these days because of what you look at, especially on second and third down. And the running backs are having a feast, and downfield throws are having a feast because of the threat of that guy and what he can do running the football, Lamar Jackson. And he throws it just well enough to make it really balanced.
And I think it is very important, and it is something that you have mentioned many times on this show for the last 14 years. It is the most, it is a sport that is so specific to situation that this very well could not have happened anywhere but Baltimore. A very solid organization that is willing to do things like this where other organizations are not. They're just not flexible or fluid to go out and hire Greg Olson to say, hey, you did this with Kaepernick. We want to do it here, only we want to take it to another level. Can you do this? And him saying, I can do it. This is the personnel I need. Okay, we're going to go out and spend money, and we're going to use draft capital, and we're going to go all in. There are maybe 2 organizations in the NFL that would be willing to do that, that would have an owner that would allow you to do that, that have coaches and general managers that are comfortable in their positions, that they're not going to get fired if this thing blows up, that would be willing to take this jump. So it's not like, oh, fill-in-the-blank team should have drafted Lamar Jackson because he would have been this successful and our team would have been great.
I worry for the crazy world of Lamar, just like I worried for Cam Newton, and those worries have now come to fruition because you can only be that guy in the NFL for so long. He's going to take a lot of hits, and it's going to take a toll on his career. But right now, they're the bee's knees, and he is damn fun to watch. The only local angle I've ever had with Crazy World of Lamar, other than that Oregon wouldn't touch him, even though he would have been perfect for them,
right?
Is he does remind me of a great local player who opted to play basketball, Stace Bozeman, who was a quarterback at Morningside High before. I mean, he would be the number one recruit in the country now. But he's the only guy I've ever seen run the ball like Lamar Jackson, in that he has this weird upper body kind of matrix control while the lower body goes forward. And he's, you know, dodging people with his obliques, you know, kind of. And I had never seen that before or since. than when Stace Bozeman came to Rolling Hills High School and I was the water boy and put like 300 on him.
And now the NFL don't know what to do.
No, but they'll adjust to him.
They will.
And they'll beat the living crap out of him.
That's what they'll have to do, and that's what the Rams will try to do tonight. Meanwhile, the Rams, as you mentioned, as it pertained to the Cam Newton bee's knees craze, the Rams once were the bee's knees, and they have fallen to mid-pack. They are 13th in yards, 14th in yards per play, 12th in scoring, 20th on the ground, 22nd on third down. They were the big play offense of the NFL, along with the Chiefs last year. This year, they're 13th. So instead of Chiefs, Rams, high-flying, let's attack one another in the most entertaining Monday Night Football contest we've ever seen from 2018, I'm guessing this coming Monday is, please let our defense somehow, some way, corral Lamar Jackson, who has, by the way, not just dominated teams the last 4 weeks as they've won six in a row, but he has decimated the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle by 14, the supposedly best defense in the history of the league, Patriots, by 17, and he absolutely humiliated the Texans, who are on top of the AFC South and were supposed to have the most underrated quarterback and MVP candidate in Deshaun Watson, by 34.
Now, the Rams have the best defensive player
in the league
of any of those teams, one individual guy. And this game kind of works against him as well, because what he does best is rush the passer. That guy goes upfield in a hurry. That, against this offense,
ships passing in the night.
Yeah, it creates giant vertical run lanes for guys like Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore running back.
They are the Rams' defense has been great, and I think that's and it's very, I think, similar to other teams that are having offensive issues in town, like the Chargers, where your defense is playing great, you are holding teams to under 20 points per game, 14-17, and you're losing those games. When you have Sean McVay and Todd Gurley and Brandon Cooks and Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp and Gerald Everett and Jared Goff, and your defense is holding teams
to 10 points. Gus Bradley and Wayne Phillips drink every night at the airport.
How's it going for you?
This sucks.
How do you think it's going for me?
I'm doing a great job, and these guys aren't supporting me.
The one thing, if you want the one versus one, it's big plays. The Rams are number one in preventing big plays. The Ravens are number one at producing them.
Gosh, but you know, it's not like the Ravens can just hunker down and run the ball down the field and just not worry about it.
It is interesting, right? Because Gurley last week had 25 carries. He rushed for just under 100 yards, but it was effective.
Right.
The Rams
he looked a little better.
Used Mitch Trubisky and a pick to set up their first touchdown. The Bears missed two field goals, and the Rams did just enough to win a game where their quarterback only threw a quarterback who makes more money than any other player in football, only threw for 173 yards, no touchdowns, and an interception. And in a week before, Goff threw it 40 times, threw two interceptions, no touchdowns, against a team where the offense scored all of 10 points, and the Rams lost to the Steelers.
I mean, I think it's fair to say that whether or not Gurley is Gurley, and he's not, obviously, McVay's a lot better play caller when they're running the ball better.
Well, I think it's something, again, hearkening back to what you have discussed about guys that spend their time in a dark room staring at film. What's the one thing they don't want to do? Play conservative football and run the ball and lean on their defense.
Look boring.
Right?
Not earn your millions of dollars for being an offensive genius.
And that's what he did last week. It looked boring. Jared Goff threw the ball 18 times last week because he ran the ball.
You got to justify drafting that guy, but if you throw it 40 times, you're going to lose.
And
you're going to lose all your fancy foosball games.
It'll be interesting to see what they choose to do tonight, because the Rams are not going to hold the Ravens to 10 points like they did the Steelers,
the
Bears. That ain't going to happen.
The reason the Ravens get big plays and so many of them come in a run game is because so many people are committed to the line of scrimmage. So if a big hole opens up or they choose wrong and ends up being the running back or Jackson or whoever you bid on, there's nobody back there. You're to the house. Or everybody's up on the line of scrimmage and you throw it. You heave it over to the tight end or whatever. So, I mean, they are fun to watch. And it's in an old school type of way. It's like when the Wildcat excited everybody.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, did you see that? That running back just threw it for a 5-yard completion. Yeah!
Oh, Tony Sperano.
And it was like, okay, cool.
The Raven. And by the way, and again, you can speak this better than I can, but this was a team that was built on an offensive line that was designed to pass block because Jared Goff cannot operate in a muddy pocket. So they draft these guys, they sign these guys that are comfortable.
And that field's going to be all chewed up.
And that the field's going to be chewed up from the rivalry game. And A, they can't pass block. B, Todd Gurley ain't what he used to be. And not you've got two tight ends. I guess Higbee doesn't mind blocking. Everett sure as hell wants nothing to do with it. So you're not getting much help there. And you've got a defense that has held those aforementioned teams, the Patriots, the Texans, the Seahawks in Seattle, to 7 against the Texans, 20 for the Patriots, 16 for the Seahawks. And those are pretty damn good offenses as compared to the Rams. I mean, you would say, you know, I feel a little bit better about that Seahawks offense, or I feel a little bit better about that Texans Jeez. Offense than I do the Rams, and that's what this defense was able to do then.
How confident is Matt in the Rams' ability to compete tonight?
Not much.
Not much. Now, here's the other issue, as if the bad couldn't get worse. The wild card chase in the NFC is not looking very favorable for the Rams. Now, they kind of won regardless of the two big games, Eagles, Seahawks, 49ers, Packers, because by winning, the 49ers have essentially put an end to any hopes the Rams would have at trying to win this division. They've already lost to them once. They've already lost to the Seahawks
once. Best case scenario, they're a wild card.
They are a wild card team. So they defeat an opponent that could be in the mix for the wild card in the Packers. The Seahawks winning certainly doesn't help them, but the fact that they knocked off an Eagles team that has a pretty darn easy 5 remaining games left on their schedule at least helps bring that into play. But then it goes back to my initial point as we wrap this thing up. None of it matters if they don't play better. If Jared Goff actually throws a touchdown this week as opposed to 0 touchdowns and 3 interceptions in his last 2. None of it matters if Todd Gurley, who just carried the ball more times than he had in any game since week 8
so close,
of 2018.
No matter how far.
Oh, that hurts. None of it matters if they cannot get themselves right. You can try to do all the math and say, oh, well, the Packers and Vikings play one more time.
They don't look like an elite NFL team this year.
They look like they do not belong in the same conversation as the Vikings, as the Seahawks, as these teams that appear to be tracking
toward take off.
11 wins.
I feel it. Thanksgiving weekend, Goff's going to take off. And he's going to be
right?
a different player after they lose this game.
They win this game tonight, everything changes. No. No.
They could win.
They could. They're playing.
Lamar. Oh, it ain't like that. Dude.
It is.
It's not like Mercer. Come on, Matt. Come on. It's not like the Chanticleers coming into Georgia, so come on.
Their guys are NFL players, too.
Exactly.
There you go.
Well,
it's the NFL.
Aaron Donald's out there.
Look what the Jets did to the Raiders.
Cooper Kupp's out there.
What? Look what they did to the Raiders. Did you ever think the Jets would humiliate the Raiders like that? It happens. It's an NFL game. I mean, they really humiliate.
I don't think you should talk about the Rams like they're a bunch of slouches. They're just mediocre. That's
exactly right. Now that's a compliment. Hey, hey, hey.
Oh.
Hey, let's slow down now.
We'll be right back and we'll talk about Clay Helton.
Speaking of mediocre.
And Coach Polarino. Hello, everybody. What's cracking and welcome back. This is Rick.
Rick drives
every day from Norwalk to Camp Pendleton and listens to the Petrosen Money Show. God bless you. We're back live at BJ's. In beautiful Downey, California, this guy won, but he also sprained his finger shaking Matt's hand.
And
he's wearing a Raider hat, and Matt tried to clown the Raiders. But, you know, you
didn't. I didn't clown the Raiders.
You guys gotta
I just
come
said
back.
It was a bad week.
I'm on the air, but we can take a picture. No, come on. It's fine. They'll take it. But, you guys, you Raider fans and you Ram fans that are tired of Matt's vitriol.
It's not vitriol.
You got to come up to
just
him and be
like, tell
him
how it is, man.
Hey, do the Raiders have a better chance of making the playoffs than the Chargers?
They do.
Do the Rams have a better chance?
They do.
Well, we still don't know, though.
But.
We still don't know.
I think the better question to ask is, you feel good about the Raiders making the playoffs now after they lost to the Jets?
Not much.
But you think that's the better question.
Do you think the Rams look like they're going to make the playoffs with the Vikings, Packers, and Seahawks ahead of them?
I went on Fred's show last night, and he was like, Ram fans are, you know,
not
fury.
Much.
I was like, there's no Ram fans.
No.
And Fred's like, I can't. What? You? What? And I was like, there's no Ram fans. And Alicia Del Valle is standing back there going, hey, I'm a Ram fan.
She has been celebrating them. Look, there's plenty. There's plenty of Rams fans. There's just not. Now someone's got to try to start the Who's House Rams
One
House.
One guy.
And we appreciate Rams PA announcer Sam Lagana. Wonderful guy. Knocks it out there at the Coliseum.
Pepperdine wave.
You got to do what you got to do. Try to get the people going.
Stand with the Avengers. All right, Matt. Let's do the top story of the day. Are we going to take a picture or what? Is that what you want? What do you want? That's all right. I don't know what people want. If you tell me what you want, I'll give it to you. No, I'm on the air. No. I got to talk about sports. It's my time to talk. Jesus. No. Over at USC, as we had Keaton Slovis on in the first hour.
Love that kid.
All is quiet on campus.
How about that? That kid's a freshman. You hear the way he dealt with our questions, all of our grab ass?
Really dealt with it.
Deftly.
Adroitly. The commotion of USC rocking the Bruins on Saturday has died down. And bravo to USC beating down poor, hapless UCLA defensively, 52-35. SC got a special 500-yard passing performance from Keaton Slovis, who joined the show earlier to celebrate, plus four different Trojans receivers finished with over 100 yards receiving on the day. Congratulations to USC receivers coach Kerry Colbert.
Way to go, Kerry.
Yeah. The Trojans finished the regular season 8-4. Yay! And they now sit around for the end of Thanksgiving week when Utah plays Colorado.
Utah! We can still get up to Santa Clara.
We can.
We're going to need some help.
If Colorado beats Utah, Utah's got to lose at home.
What are they?
What's the Wasatch.
What's the likelihood that they lose that one in the Wasatch?
Utah's got the best run defense in the country. And a really good quarterback and a great tailback.
But we heard Joel Klatt say that Mike Bone really set up Colorado for success upon his departure.
Hey, Tucker's got it going. It just beat Washington. If the Utes beat the Buffs, then SC will not play in the Pac-12 title game. Colorado will not beat Utah. Not going to happen.
Not a chance.
Well, there's a chance.
How much of a chance?
Not much.
What's more likely, Colorado wins or the Rams win?
Rams.
Yeah.
So next Saturday night, Sunday morning, will be the decision for the new AD, Mike Bone. Shall he stick with Clay Helton as football coach, or should he hire a new leader for the program? The old Bonerino has handled his business thus far in a very excitable.
We respect the office of athletic director.
Engorged and professional manner. The Bonerino has been very solid.
How solid?
No bend. Guys, we can't have any bend. Guys, this is the pros.
There's no bend, don't break.
Can't have any bend in that.
It's no bend.
Bone has 1 week to either have a succession plan or a status quo plan for the football program. Now, personally, as I said on Friday,
personally,
I believe Bone has already made his decision. He thinks USC needs new leadership to remove the apathy of the fan base, to get fans into brand new seats of the brand new Coliseum, and to improve the recruiting efforts, which are currently hovering in the Mountain West and Conference USA level, which is not penetrating anything.
Abundance of apathy.
A great deal. Now, I believe Bone is managing the information this week. I think USC will not be suiting up to play in the championship on December 6th in Santa Clara. So he's controlling what he can control. 8-4 is better than 5-7 from last season, though.
But how much better?
Not much.
Not much.
Not at USC.
No, piling up stats and winning 8 games is not what's going to make USC great again. But looking back at the 12-game regular season, how could USC ever justify a loss to a BYU team that then lost to Toledo and South Florida? Plus losing a game to Washington that is just 6-5 now. This was the year when USC should have kicked the snot out of UW. UW's down this year. And to continually hear Clay's explanation after wins and losses about his team dealing with injuries and youth, it's college football. Be ready for injuries and youth. It's college football, for God's sakes. And be ready to win and lose the games by three or four plays. I don't want to hear it anymore. Tired. Tired of the lies.
Well, they lost to save BYU, all their ranked teams. Ranked at the time. Notre Dame lost, Oregon destroyed, and Washington. Washington, Notre Dame, Oregon all beat them.
It's not good enough.
The ranked teams on their schedule.
Clay has never fully embraced how high the standards are at USC.
Exactly.
And if they're not high anymore, then keep him. That'll send the message to your fan base. Lynn Swann didn't fire Helton after a 5-7 season, and that got Lynn Swann fired. Pat Hayden's universally despised because he extended the guy. I think Mike Bone knows that. He doesn't want to be in the same boat with those ADs, and he would be.
You don't hire him to keep everybody. What's the point?
No, it wouldn't make sense. USC is supposed to be the dominant program on the West Coast, yet trailed by 10 points in the fourth quarter to Colorado and needed a good bounce and a good flag to hang on to beat Arizona State after they built a 28-7 lead. They're not consistent. So to drive the point home, Helton teams are consistently inconsistent. They're 13-11 over the last two seasons, and that is exactly who Clay Helton is. It's never going to change. You add the fan apathy and empty seats and low recruiting profile to that. How does Mike Bone start his USC tenure by going down the same path Pat Hayden and Lynn Swann went down?
I can't believe people are actually, I don't want to say advocating, but even asking the question.
Bruce Feldman.
Like, how do you even ask the question? You've seen how this story ends twice now. It does. I don't get it. Wait, okay, great. You beat UCLA. Way to go.
Kirk Herbstreit says keep him.
That's crazy.
Brian Griese says keep him.
It makes no sense. Do you have no memory whatsoever?
You know what Wolf said? Power protects power.
Yeah.
What makes Clay Helton powerful? The people behind Clay Helton are powerful. The people that are still in the athletic department that still have some of their fingers on the strings. Now, is Bone going to cut those strings?
He better.
He better sharpen that bone. The right thing for Mike Bone to do is to clear the runway for Clay to finish up 2019 in whatever bowl game USC lands and have whoever replaces him ready to rock and roll, doing an interview on the sideline while Clay coaches the Vegas Bowl or whatever.
What about early signing?
What about it? That guy will be recruiting. Right?
So
you fire Clay.
But what if the bowl is later than what is it? December 16th? I think is early signing.
He still has the job. He's just going to coach out the string. If he doesn't want to coach out the string, put in an interim. Maybe he gets the Memphis job because that guy Mike Norvell is going to probably get the FSU job at Memphis. Shed no tears. Clay had 3 years remaining on his contract. It'll make him very comfortable, probably for the rest of his life.
I would hope so.
The Trojans football program should focus now on 2020. Recruiting and the season opener in the Dallas Palace against Alabama.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
And Bone should put these moves in place by the end of the weekend. And that way, everybody knows what's going on with that early signing period. Helton had a bite at the Alabama apple in 2016.
How'd that go?
It was one of the lowest points in USC history, a 52-6 loss. Now it should be somebody else's chance.
Somebody? Somebody.
Some other coach.
Somebody. Some other coach.
Carol Folt ain't going to do it.
She's got to do it.
She's not going to do it.
And now I'm getting nervous that she ain't. Well, not like
she
I care.
She said integrity over and over and over.
Hey, when it comes to football, he's got football integrity. I don't give a damn what other integrity he does or doesn't have. I care about football integrity,
about
and no one's got it like
violence?
Urban Meyer. Don't care.
But what about those guys in
Florida?
And
I shouldn't say it that way, but when it's a coach that you have to try to navigate. No, was it the AD that was supposed to get him fired first? And then Urban was like, no, we'll keep. Like, there are so many tangled webs there. It's a football coach.
What if it's like Aaron Hernandez shooting out people's eyeballs, okay, like William Tell?
And I said this. If you want to hold Urban Meyer accountable for that, fine. Hold Bill Belichick accountable for that. Well, he had him on his roster for 6 years.
My thing is, you can't not hire Urban Meyer, turn around and hire James Franklin. because he had all the rape stuff at Vanderbilt.
Exactly.
So all the rape Vanderbilt rapes get VR.
That is every university, and I said it before, I'll say it again, when Bobby Bowden came on with us. He said, for some reason, I am responsible for 93 guys, 24 hours a day, 365 games a year.
But it's going to be the backlash, and they said integrity 500 times in the Bonorino press conference, and then Bonorino said we want to win the right way, right way, right way. And you know Bill Plaschke's going to come over there. They're not going to hire Urban Meyer.
What I would ask is...
not going to do it.
If you're not going to hire Urban Meyer, I would like a detailed dossier of exactly what his transgressions were as it relates to the coach that you are going to hire. As you mentioned, if it's James Franklin, then you damn well better split that ledger down the middle. And as you mentioned, bring up the rape situation
right.
at Vanderbilt.
You have to. Like it followed Alford from Iowa.
Exactly.
To the UCLA. You're going to have to. Now, the two guys that you could say integrity, that I think people would be happy with as great coaches who I think could build programs and call plays and geek it, are Matt Rhule, the Baylor guy, and Matt Campbell, the Iowa State guy. But both those guys have done recent extensions, and do they want to deal with the USC dumpster fire?
And by all accounts, I think much like it is with Urban Meyer, too, you've heard Matt Rhule attached
There's
to two different
job.
NFL
yeah,
jobs.
It's not just USC in a vacuum.
And now you're starting to hear Urban Meyer and the Dallas Cowboys, that those two very well may be connected.
I'll tell you what, if I was the Bonorino, I'd have a hard time keeping lead in my pencil. You know what I'm saying? I'd have a hard time being like, I'm ready to do this, because I'd be like, I wouldn't know what to do.
As you said.
But Matt says, Matt knows what, and you're right,
just
Matt.
Just keep Clay Helton then. Then just keep him if you want. By all accounts, everybody says he's a great guy.
That'll send.
There is integrity here. Just keep him. Go 8-4 and all is well.
There will be no mixed message then, Matt, will there?
Yeah, you don't need to parse out what did he know about domestic violence for this guy, when, what was filed, were the police involved,
did
the police.
It's
like, come on.
Hey, Matt, if we're going to tell Rick Neuheisel he's a bad guy for all the Washington
exactly.
guys, and we do.
Exactly right.
We'll be right back with
what a
more
nightmare.
BMS. Good luck, Bonorino.
It's a damn football coach.
These men.
He's a football
they
coach.
They are the leaders of our society.
No, they coach a football team. Petro Simone live on location.
Somebody else got needle deep.
BJ's Restaurant Brewhouse, Stonewood Center. That is the corner of Firestone in Lakewood.
They gave
and
us
a big
the sampler,
thank you.
Man. I mean, it's really. I had the Jeremiah Red. I had the Brewhouse Blood, the Committed IPA.
I had the Harvest Hefeweizen, the Oasis Amber Ale.
The Grand Cru, Matt.
Rich had the PM Porter.
I mean, BJ's was making their own beer before it was cool. And now it's super cool. And especially all the appetizering we've done, Matt.
What do? We got Philly cheese. We got avocado egg.
We've really let it loose here.
Some delicious, I would say like a tortilla salad of sorts?
It was a salad.
Santa Fe salad?
A salad of the Southwest.
The michelada was delicious.
Oh, was it ever?
Handmade, salt-rimmed.
Love it here at BJ's.
Spice that heated up after you were nice and refreshed.
And we still have giveaways to give away, Matt. We still
got,
have a lot.
Six Flags Magic Mountain Day Passes, UCLA versus Cal, BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse gift card, and the Algretto Vineyard Resort in Wine Country Paso Robles, all still to give away between now. Well, the next hour we'll be giving that away. It is the latest stop on our Petros and Money BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Monday Night Football Tour. Remember, you come down and see us before 6, and you get the Petros and Money Happy Hour Specials. Half off large pizzas and $5 BJ's Margs.
Now, Matt, it bears repeating that we've had a lot of good guests on already. Keaton Slovis.
Slovis.
Joel Klatt attacking the old Bonorino.
Now, I don't like Bone. I'd go there for Slovis, but not Bone.
Bone? Forget that guy.
If you're asking me why I'm going for Slovis.
I'd bury that Bone.
Where are you going to bury it? Hey now. Hey now.
Deep in the Flatiron Mountains. All right, everybody, listen. You can podcast all that stuff that we've already done at am570lasports.com/PMS or the iHeartRadio app for your smartphone. But still to come, we have Bath, so we're going to do a shot.
Sweet Jesus.
Jesus is not here to do a shot with us, Matt. But we have
yes, he is.
We have the broadcast engineer.
I'm infected with his spirit.
We have the engineer guy from Dallas.
right.
We have these guys from USC. I was in a class with one of them.
Oh, nice.
Said I went off about the Beat Poets once.
Got a smattering of fans, Niners, Sharks, Raiders,
yeah.
Buccaneers.
This family.
Dodgers, Kings.
Good-looking family here.
Ozzy and his family.
My cousin Anthony.
Anthony, what's he doing?
I think he told me he was going to go get coffee. I said, they had coffee here. He's like, I just got to get out of here, dude. He's been here with us since 1:30.
Since 1 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah, and the people that have been here since 1 o'clock are extremely inebriated.
Love them.
At this point. God bless you all for drinking so heavy.
We're going to give away some more of these tickets in the break.
More tickets to give away. Jason Negro from Bosco going to come by and visit us. We have the Quick Hits and maybe your Dead and Alive Guy birthday of the day. Baff and a final hour fun fact. It's the Petrus and Money live from Downey on AM 570 LA Sports. Let's go Vikings. Let's go Bears.